You know, it's the start of something, hopefully.
Welcome to the Garibaldi Gazette, a podcast about Nottingham Forest. On this week's episode, picking the bones out of a sorry seaside sojourn against the Seagulls. Nuno, as in Nuno, or Nuno, go on then, see if you can sort it out. And looking at Luton, the Battle of Bedfordshire, taking down the town, a match preview essentially. Also, spurious reasons to deduct everyone else points. Sparing a penny for the thoughts of Gio Reyna, this is the Garibaldi Gazette. How you doing, gang? Probably better than Gio Reyna, I should suspect. He might be scratching his head and wondering why he bothered. It's me, Matt Davis Adams. I'm joined by my two Forest friends this week. Hello, Ash Rally.
Hello, everyone. Let's talk Forest.
Let's do it, with a heavy heart or not. Nick Miller's back with us to provide the requisite sunshine.
Let's talk Forest.
Well done.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's not been a great week, has it? We're going to start with Brighton. I was all optimistic, thinking we'd go there and come back with some points, but it didn't happen. Let's get an explanation from our friend David Marples.
Brighton? More like Grimton, that was. Bereft of desire, fight and hopeton, more like. After last week's promising performance and simmering sense of injustice, it was reasonable to assume we would rock up and give it a real good go against a team with other things on their minds and smarting from a hiding in Rome. Nope. Whichever is coolest between tepid and lukewarm, that's what our performance was. At one point in the second half, Morgan Gibbs-White went to take a corner in front of us, and as he collected the ball, he gestured for us to, you know, make some noise, get behind the lads, giving it the big one with the arms. Naturally, we did, because it's Morgan Gibbs-White and we'd like to see something happen. But part of me was thinking, Morgan, mate, we've been trying all game, but it's been pretty difficult to shout about anything much this afternoon. Let's be honest, a red card would have made little difference. And us bleating about such things is growing tiresome. Yeah. Fostering us against them, team spirit and all that. But if you're going to do that, such a strategy needs to have something behind it, like a battling performance. We did this for about 20 minutes in the second half, then fizzled out like a wet firework. Oh God, Luton next week. With their battling spirit and innumerable crosses into the box. Oh God. It's going to be glorious redemption. Or pretty nasty and toxic. Let's just get it over with.
All right, we'll get on to Luton later, but we've got to post-mortem this game at the Amex first. Nick, it was a sort of strange team selection, I thought. Wood started, Taiwo Alanga, Hudson-Odoi, Niakate, Bolly, all on the bench. It didn't work.
Yeah, it was a real kind of heart sinker of team news that, you know, I don't know, if you get the notification on the app, which insists on putting the full names in, which takes up so much space. And that's probably, there are other things for you to be worrying about, Forrest, but figure that out first. Anyway, when that pops up and it's you're just kind of looking down the list and, okay, there's no Alanga. Is he injured? No, Hudson-Odoi. Is he injured? No. Oh, God, no Taiwo. You can kind of, maybe they are not, because I'm not sure. Maybe they, there was some sort of other reason for leaving some of them out, but all three of them, it's very kind of easy to be wise after the event, after a kind of wet fart of a performance that it was. But I think all at the time, in fact, if I scroll through the Garibaldi Gazette WhatsApp group, we can show that we were not happy about it when the team was announced. So yeah, just very, very odd. We know about Taiwo. We know that he's not really able to finish 90 minutes. He's only done it once or twice since he's signed for Forest. And I don't know whether Nuno has decided that it's better to sort of backload the game by bringing him on for the last half an hour or whatever, whether that's a tactical decision or not, I don't know. But to leave out the two wingers as well was, again, unless they were both had injuries, was kind of inexplicable, really.
That's a decent justification, I think, Asha, because a lot of managers these days talk about having finishers rather than substitutes, don't they? So you can understand, given that Brighton were playing on Thursday night, that they might have tired later on and you'd introduce fast legs, which are also quick legs. But it doesn't really matter if you can't defend set pieces because you're effectively a goal down before you start every game.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like a sort of tactical tinkering bridge too far. Like that was it was so shocking, like Nick said, you know, going through the team and sort of seeing your best front four just completely kind of rejigged. And especially against a Brighton team, like you say, that have, you know, that had just been spanked in Europe. And also depleted as well. The whole thing just feels like a kind of a missed opportunity in that way. And then, yeah, set pieces again. You know, let's be honest. Like, you know, we'd all rather have Matt Sales in goal, but that was a flap. It was a flap. You know, it was a bit of a mess. And again, it's a set piece that we've conceded. Because before that, you know, there wasn't really much going on from Brighton, really. But just to set up, like, because I know in his post-match comments, you know, he kind of explained why he'd put some, you know, why he'd gone for Nico Dominguez out on that side, you know, to kind of nullify whatever perceived threat he saw. That I didn't see that threat in the game. It didn't feel like it was a side that you really needed to kind of plug. So that kind of weird, you know, managers obviously, like, you know, they get this, don't they? You know, and the old kind of Clough-y kind of adage of, you know, just sort of putting your strongest team out and not worrying about, you know, the opposition. I just felt like there was too much worry about the opposition or the perceived opposition, but not actually playing the team that was there. You know, he knew about all these injuries, but I feel like he just prepared for a different Brighton team.
So we've done our best, Nick, to get over the departure of Steve Cooper and welcome Nuno, but now we're on a run of four defeats in a row, won 1 of 11 in all comps. In 11 league games under Nuno, Forest have kept one clean sheet. You made us better for a bit, but that's seemingly long gone now. Do you have a theory as to why?
It's tricky. I mean, as with most things, it's probably not one single thing. Although, as we have covered at length so far, not picking any of your sort of best front three is one reason why it might not be going brilliantly. It's just none of this kind of matters when Forest are winning. So it doesn't really, I don't know whether this is a really valid criticism or not, but it's just not very inspiring man in public, at least. He doesn't make you think, well, okay, he's got all this kind of figured out and he's going to rouse the team to go on to great things. I feel quite sorry for Colin Frey, who has to try and tease any kind of answers at all out of him, never mind interesting ones. Poor old Cole's gone from being essentially, but it seems like actually genuinely really good mates with Steve Cooper, to this kind of one-way relationship that he's got with Nuno. But this is just a thing now. We are just, you're always kind of slightly wary of going too, like, I don't know, too sentimental or too overblown about these things. But if you have a manager like Cooper that everyone identifies with and everyone loves so much, and then you get rid of him, you're just another team now. You're just another a team that will have a manager of kind of Nuno's level, and this is sort of almost the best case scenario, really. You have a managers of Nuno's level for a year, 18 months, 2 years, and they'll do well in some parts, and they won't do well in other parts. They'll get sacked and someone else will come in. Well, obviously we know all about that. We had that for years in the Championship. There were in the 23 years away, there were probably two or three managers in that time that actually enthused us and actually kind of gave us some sort of excitement and identified with on a kind of emotional level. We had that with Cooper and we haven't got that anymore. And we're not going to have that again for quite a long time. And having a sort of decent team and a manager who kind of, even if you don't sort of emotionally identify with the manager, if you have a some kind of confidence in a manager, then that kind of keeps it, it makes it a bit better for a little while. But you know that, you know, inevitably how this is going to end. You know, it's going to end in a sort of slightly underwhelming failure at some point, and you've had a couple of decent times along the way, and more often than not, it's probably quite bleak times. There's just nothing to. This is a kind of long, rambling way of saying there's not a huge amount to get excited about, and this is why. And this is a point really to be made for non-Forest fans. Everyone listening to this will know this to be true. This is why we were, even if there were plenty of logical arguments for getting rid of Cooper, this is why we were so reluctant to almost not quite face up to that, but why plenty of us, I think, would have loved to have kept him, because we were losing games under Cooper. We're losing games now, but at least with Cooper, there was some kind of emotional investment, and there's some kind of emotional connection. This is not even necessarily Nuno's fault, because he's come into the quite a difficult situation, and he's made some mistakes, and the team isn't playing very well at the moment. But it's just quite hard to get enthusiastic about games now.
I think it speaks, this whole thing is a bigger problem, isn't it? It is like the circus has left town. You know, there is a huge charisma void. It feels like there is no connection with Nuno. And it's not all his fault, like you just said, it's not. But it doesn't help that you have a character that's so distant and kind of cold and slightly mechanical. In a lot of ways, you know, in the way that he speaks to the media, in the way that he seemingly sets up a team, how he sees football, you know, this whole thing, and that is a good point, you know, in terms of, you know, losing Cooper. Yeah, there were logical arguments to make in terms of, you know, just numbers and whatever, but it was that, I think, you know, subconsciously, I think we were all sort of fearing what Forest would look like post such a kind of unifying kind of character, and then someone who was so open and someone who really understood the kind of emotional hot pot sometimes that it, you know, involves following Forest. You know, it has sort of been quite bleak at times. You know, we've sort of lived in a Ken Loach film for a long time, and now we're sort of directed by Baz Luhrmann for a little bit. Do you know what I mean? That's it's so it's epic, the kind of contrast from where we've come from. But it's also somewhere where we might be going again pretty soon. And that's, you know, I don't think it's a crime against football, you know, with everything that's going on as well, with all the referee stuff and, you know, the kind of perceived skewed board in terms of the top six and, you know, all these kind of things and these reforms that are coming in. There's just so much coming at you. But I don't think it's any crime against football to say that, you know, having tasted the Premier League and having sort of been back in it, I'm not arsed. It just feels like it's this kind of, maybe it was always this, but we didn't know because we were happily sort of, you know, living in ignorance in the championship. But the Premier League, it feels like this kind of evil funhouse, you know, just full of clown tears. You know what I mean? It feels like a cruel joke at the moment. And that, and also, like, even as a television product now, it's frankly, it's just awful TV for us. You know, we're in this show, you know, and we are so kind of that side character, you know, who's definitely not going to die. And then, oh, wait, oh my God, he's been ran over by an ice cream truck several times. Do you know what I mean? Like,
Who's driving this ice cream truck? Probably
exactly. The
selling
feel
ice
of the
cream trucks
Premier
when you're a
League,
kid.
the Premier League, the PGMOL. You know, they've all got their ice cream trucks and then we're just full of tie marks. But it's just sad. I don't know. I just, the whole thing is kind of adding up to a kind of weird feeling of being comfortably kind of numb.
Wow. Let's hope that we can inject some positivity when we talk about the Luton game. But yeah, that Brighton one didn't engender much. In fairness to Nuno, you know, it's like following Fergie or Jurgen Klopp, isn't it? You want to be the one after the guy that everybody loved, rather than immediately following him. We'll see if he lasts the rest of the season. The next three games are going to be pivotal, that's for sure. We'll preview Luton shortly. First, though, you can help us out if you like. Give us a nice review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, etc. Or we have a charity partner you can donate to if you're able. They're called Hope Nottingham. They offer a food bank service for those in need in Notts. Here's Nigel Adams from the charity to tell us more.
Hope Nottingham runs a network of 14 community hubs and food banks across the Nottingham area, everywhere from Stapleford across to Netherfield. In the last year, we've given out 25,000 food parcels for people that are struggling with all kinds of difficulty. due to cost of living, due to unemployment, due to homelessness, all sorts of different issues. But we're only able to do that because we get massive, wonderful support from so many people. And Nottingham Forest, actually, in recent years, have been really helpful to us. We've done a number of food bank collections at the ground through Nottingham Forest. And the massive support that we get across the city, we're able to bring hope to hundreds of people.
To donate, visit localgiving.org/hopenotstgg. We'll provide a link in the show notes too. Okay, we're going to look ahead to a crunch game in Bedfordshire next. And not many Premier League games this weekend, thanks to the Football Association's Challenge Cup reaching round six, but Forest are in action and it is a biggie in Bedfordshire. Forest taking on Luton, led by football's most handsome man, Rob Edwards. It is the start of a season-shaping triple header. Luton, then Palace, then Fulham. We're recording this before Luton play Bournemouth on Wednesday night. One thing they do have, Nick, is a pretty settled starting 11. Can't say that for Forest. He've used 33 players overall in their Premier League fixtures. Nuno hasn't named the same 11 two matches running. You wouldn't expect him to do so here, given what happened at Brighton, I guess.
Well, no. I mean, where do you kind of start? Obviously, Taiwo must start. It sounds like some kind of strident political protest, doesn't it? What do we want, Taiwo? When do we want him? From the start, ideally for 60 to 70 minutes. Maybe needs work for a placard. But, you also need, Andrew Omobadeli, whose name I still can't get my head around. I'm really sorry. He's been all right. We shouldn't necessarily drop him because he scored an own goal at the weekend. But if you don't have some proper gnarled players in defence on Saturday, then Luton will absolutely batter us. So I think, I would say Willy Bolly. I don't know if you guys have any thoughts on. If it feels like there's been a little more. I don't know what the right phrase is. A little more sentiment towards maybe giving Murillo a game or two out. But yes, definitely Bolly back in. I don't know, do you think Murillo might benefit from, from a little rest? Or do you think him leaving out one of our best players this season might be an error?
You don't really want two 21-year-olds at the centre of defence for this game, do you, Arshar? I don't think. But maybe Murillo does get a rest. But are we in danger of bigging up Willy Bolly sort of beyond his station? Because he hasn't played for us for ages and we're making him the second coming of Des Walker.
No, I mean, it might be just short-term memory on my part. But I feel like Murillo's looks good or looked better when he's had someone more experienced next to him. And out of our squad, that only means two people, really. That means Felipe or Willy Bolly. Because then the other argument is you wouldn't have Niakate next to him because they're both lefties, and you don't want to go too southpaws. Maybe they say that in boxing, I don't know. But I personally wouldn't drop Murillo. I don't know. I think the way it's going as well, and this is probably way too arch, and I don't think any fans would be looking at it like this, but I just think you keep him in the shop window, because if we end up going down, keep him in the shop window, keep him going. He's done more good, way more good than bad. So, you want to keep that kind of asset valuable, which is it's just the worst words to say, isn't it? When you're talking about football, but that's what it's become. In your life as a football fan, I think you reach that kind of zen awareness, don't you? Where it's not just about what you see at the pitch, it's kind of all around it. And you either choose to engage with that and you see all the kind of nuts and bolts and the bottom lines and the numbers, or you stay in this kind of weird Peter Pan phase where you just never grow up and it's always about the lads, the 11 on the pitch, get behind them, doesn't matter what's going on, just stay young. I've gone wildly off track here.
So, I mean, the general tone of this podcast so far suggests that we do need a little bit more Peter Pan, a little bit more.
Yeah, it's hard though. It's hard, isn't it? I don't know. Maybe we're just three Captain Hooks and, one of us got to be Smee. I don't know.
I'll be Smee.
I mean, what I would say is that, and as I say, we're recording this before Luton play Bournemouth, but Nick, they haven't looked very good in recent weeks, have they? There's a feeling that, they're always in games at Kenilworth Road. They usually end up losing them. And let's not forget, they've been beaten by Sheffield United and Burnley on their own patch this season.
Yeah, that's bleak, isn't it? I think they possibly... Their performances have been maybe slightly overrated. I quite, as a team, not a club, I quite enjoy Luton because they're just sort of slightly different to everyone else. Maybe their performances have been slightly overrated because everyone wrote off the promoted three, and they have been better than expected, and certainly the be by a long way the best of the three. Even with those two defeats to Burnley and Sheffield United in mind, you're right. They do kind of give it a go, and they have a few players that people want to kind of get behind. The people are in danger of turning resurgence of Ross Barkley into, thinking this guy's Luka Modric or something like that. Again, like Luton generally, he's better than everyone expected, but let's not get too giddy about this guy. So, yeah, you would think that if the right team is selected and Forest play like they did against, I don't know, Manchester United at home or West Ham even, then a win is likely. But, who knows really.
It's a different game for Luton, isn't it, Arsha? Because there's going to be a completely different emphasis on them than there is, when you're at home against Aston Villa or Manchester United or even Brighton, who they thumped 4-0. Their supporters will be expecting them not only to win this game, but to attack it in a way that maybe they haven't done when so-called, well, not so-called, actual bigger teams have come.
They are plucky. They are the very definition of plucky.
They're us last year, aren't they? Plucky playoff fodder that everybody likes to patronise because they've got a noisy crowd.
In some ways, yeah, they are. They've kind of taken up that kind of mantle, haven't they? Of, oh, look, they're better than everybody thought. Except, obviously they didn't sign 40 players or whatever it was. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to be up for one game in this season, if you're going to be up for a game, it's going to be this one if you're Luton, surely. Like, with our impending points deduction, all the, all the stuff that's going on as we speak, whenever we find out about that, this is a huge game. But for us, it's this period is huge and it starts tonight. We're recording this on the Wednesday. We don't know what the result is, and we're hopefully. We're all Bournemouth tonight. We want them to, which is so weird to say.
It doesn't sound like a massive rallying cry, doesn't it? Like
no.
Bournemouth.
Yeah, Bournemouth. Come on, Bournemouth. Once more into the breach. But if they, if Solanke can, do us a favor, do us a favor, Solanke, then I can breathe sort of a little bit easier. But no, they're going to be completely up for it. And it's a horrible little ground. Let's make no bones about it. It's a horrible little ground. It's a horrible place to go and play football. You should not be that close to fans. That's like sort of, you know what I mean? Like that's like, it's almost like immersive theater. It's not even like football anymore. It's like the people are there. They can touch you, and you've got some kind of responsibility to kind of touch them back. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like just the grabbing and the kind of. Who was it? Was it Trent Alexander-Arnold? I don't know, but someone got grabbed. And I've seen it so many times, in Luton games. Like someone will go for the throw-in and they're so close to the fans will either grab them or pull their shirt or they'll say something so horrible right to them. I've got no love for Luton and I hope they go down.
What's your experience of Kenilworth Road been like, Nick? Because I'm led to believe you have to go through an old lady's bedroom or something to get to the away end slash press box.
Yeah, this, walk past some tins of spam in the scullery or something. I don't know what the bloody hell it is. It's the away end, isn't it? It's the you have to essentially go through someone's house, and I think we're all, anyone who was on social media at all over the summer got every week there will be someone go, did you know you have to go through someone's living room to blah 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 blah, which is, it was quite funny. Well, actually, not funny is the wrong word, but I think they played. It was, I don't know, it was their first home game of the season when they played West Ham, and everyone was, as you have said, everyone was sort of patronising them all. Isn't this a funny little ground? Everyone loves Luton, the club whose away end you have to walk through someone's living room. And then they started singing some vile, horrible, misogynistic chant about Jarrod Bowen's girlfriend, and it was like it was a sort of milkshake ducking. Oh, sorry, we regret to inform you that this lot are awful misogynists and other things as well. So, didn't take very long for the mask to slip. So, yeah, I think we may get onto this in our final section, but that would certainly be one of mine. But yeah, it is a fairly, it's one of those places I don't get particularly romantic about grounds that sort of actively dilapidated, people will say, oh, you know, it's good to in an era where everything we've got all these kind of shiny stadiums and whatever. Call me a softy metropolitan elite, but I'd rather sit in Spurs' lovely, shiny, modern new stadium than Kenilworth Road. There's a danger of kind of romanticising things for the sake of it. And I think this is, could be my hottest football take that Craven Cottage is a terrible football ground. Everyone romanticises that as well, but it's rubbish. Two ends are basically temporary stands. One end is, you know, Victorian and doesn't really fit human beings as they are in 2024. The other side is a brand new stand that is somehow not finished yet, even though it's been they've been building it for genuinely 5 years. So yeah, I'm not really sure how I got onto Craven Cottage from there, but you know, anyway, Craven Cottage is rubbish.
And Kenilworth Road is not ideal, but they will be thinking that that's where they're going to get the points to keep them up. Their remaining home games after Saturday are against Bournemouth, Brentford, Everton, and Fulham. Might well end up being a straight shootout between us and them to see who stays up. We'll have to wait and see. All right, let's finish, as we have alluded to throughout the podcast, with our end bit, which this week we thought, because we're going to need all the help we can to stay in the Premier League, we bring to you spurious reasons to deduct points off other teams so that they get relegated instead of us. Now we'll kind of go team by team maybe here. Nick, kick us off. Who's your first one? Why are you taking points from them?
Well, following on from that, can I say I'll take Luton for the maybe slightly careful how you characterise this, but there's, I think there's an unpleasant element to their support. I'll put it that way. As we mentioned before, misogynistic chants about Danny Dyer. That's got to be at least 10 points, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I took 20 points off them for that bloke who sits by the effects mic and just screams obscenities into it every time they're on telly. Asher, have you got one for Luton or anybody else?
I'm going to go for Sheffield United, purely for Chris Wilder, minus 15.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I minus them a million points just because they're Sheffield United, which is probably a
Yeah.
bit harsh. Nick, do you have anything for them?
Yeah, I'm going to take 5 points off just for that stupid thing Chris Wilder said about it. It falls into Arsh's category here, but the stupid thing he said about being disrespected by a linesman because he was eating a sandwich in front of him. Come on, mate.
Give me another team then, Nick. Who can we take points off for no reason?
Well, I mean, we're kind of we're starting at the bottom here, starting with the teams that most directly impact Forest. So I'm going to take so Burnley have won 3 games. So I'm going to take all those points off them for Vincent Kompany's baseball cap blazer combo.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? He doesn't look like a football manager. I'm totally with you on that one. Arsha, Burnley, or another team we can take some points from?
I'm going to take minus 8 points off Crystal Palace for not hiring Steve Cooper.
Yep.
I think that's fair. I dock them 30 for inappropriate use of an eagle pre-match,
Nice,
backed up by
nice.
the RSPCA.
No
Nick?
longer with us, Kayla the Eagle. No longer, she died a few years ago, unfortunately.
Yeah, probably from all the trauma of having to fly around Selhurst Park for no good reason. Not cool, guys. Nick, have you got another team?
Going to take a few points off Bournemouth because, and this is a very sort of snobby Premier League thing to say, you know, we've only been here 18 months and there's a good chance we're going out of it, but I'm already getting the snobby Premier League thing. It's just a silly little ground, isn't it? The Vitality Stadium. Actually, I'm going to quibble with the use of stadium. That is not a stadium. I think I can't remember who defined this, but a stadium is something with the corners filled in and a ground the corners are open, which I suppose makes the City Ground half stadium, half ground. Interesting.
Groundium.
Yeah, grounding. But you know, I'm not having Dean Court as a proper Premier League stadium, so they can lose a few points for that.
Yeah, that's fair. I went with minus 40 points. Just simply, you're not a Premier League club and you never will be, I'm afraid, guys. Asher, anybody else we can take some points off?
What about Chelsea? Why don't we minus 20 them for just for Todd Boehly?
Okay, I've gone minus 30 for improper use of Patrick Bamford after purchase for
Sure.
Chelsea.
Yes. Yes.
I think that's reasonable. Moving swiftly on from that before I get myself in trouble. Nick, have you got anybody else?
I'm going to skip up the league a little bit. I'm going to take. Let's work this out by how old I was at the time. So I would have been. In 1999, I would have been 16. So I'm going to take 16 points off Manchester United for essentially ruining my childhood.
by being Manchester United in those years. And they were Manchester United for another decade and a bit, but I'm not going to get those years of innocence back, so they can have some points off for that.
Yeah, I minus them 70 points just because single-use plastics aren't a great thing for the world, Sir Jim. Anybody else, Arsha, who we can take some points from?
Newcastle, because you know
Yep.
they be heading for a big points deduction, I think.
Oh.
Sensitive. All right, let me whip through a couple more before we finish this because I think it's nearly run its course. Brentford, I'm taking 20 points off them for disrespecting the Undertaker's legacy by using his entrance music for Ivan Toney. Manchester City minus 115 points, one per charge, but they're all for their stadium announcer, who is absolutely insufferable. Brighton minus 50, you just can't be that well run and expect to get away with it, I think. Fulham also minus 50, their chief football strategy officer also owns a wrestling promotion, which is part of me, but he also books it terribly. He hasn't been able to get people like Brian Danielson and MJF properly over, and he regularly writes himself into shows. So that's a deduction, guys, I'm
Yeah,
afraid.
I've been saying that for years, actually. Yeah, that's, I agree.
I don't like West Ham, Nick, so I'm taking 30 points from them on the basis that that's not a proper football stadium. So that speaks to you, perhaps.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. It was, in fact, it was. I went when they hosted baseball games, regular season baseball games there a couple of times, and it's to me anyway, feels much more suited to being a baseball stadium than a football stadium. So, yeah.
And West Ham for also taking Marlon Harewood. I've never forgiven them for that.
Yeah.
Fair. Yeah, horrible club. Maybe Arsha, if we deducted Spurs 60 points, it'd be fair because if they just pulled their finger out their arse a couple of months earlier and signed Brennan Johnson when they should have, we wouldn't be in this mess in the first place.
It's all their fault. Come on, Spurs, what were you doing? It's Brennan Johnson. He's come good now, hasn't he?
I'm going to dock Aston Villa. This is a very relatively personal one, so a minor deduction of maybe 5 points. I once got shouted at for parking in the wrong place near Villa Park when I had been told by someone else to park in that place. So,
That
yeah.
is extraordinary because the same thing happened to me
Oh.
and the Chelsea team bus a few years ago. They wouldn't let us in, and the security guy said he wouldn't until he'd finished his ice cream. Which, like, fair enough just to wind me up, but the actual first team, the opposition that you're playing, felt a little unfair to me. So, yeah, let's give them 30 points off. I think we've pretty much done everyone, Arsha. The one I really struggled with was Wolves because I really like Gary O'Neill and Molyneux's like my favourite away ground to go to. Is there any way that we can deduct Wolves some points?
I'm not sure there is. I don't know. I can't think of anything. Whenever, see, it's weird. Whenever I think of Wolves, I always think of Sean O'Driscoll. Go figure
Okay.
that one out.
Yeah, I can't really, to be honest.
About knocking off a few points from Wolves for making us think that Nuno was the
Yeah,
saviour and was going to cure all our post Steve Cooper problems?
okay,
Yeah.
that's fair. Who've we missed? Everton. I thought maybe we could take another 10 points off them just for that time that a bird shat in Ashley Young's mouth. I know he wasn't playing for them at the time, but it's quite a disturbing thing that happened.
What about Arsenal? Have we taken points off Arsenal?
Oh no,
No.
I took 80 points off them just because Mikel Arteta.
Yeah.
Just find him so. He is the chief proponent of one of my most biggest pet peeves in football, whereby team goes 3-4 nil up, unassailable lead. Manager has to show how important he is by calling right back and right winger over to him. Come on, come on! I've got some really important tactical information I need to impart on you now, even though the game's already won, just to show that I'm still thinking about the result. He's a Wally.
Actually, yeah, we can related to that, we can knock off a few points for them for passing up the chance to get double figures against Sheffield United. Not even for like, Pirocchi or Forest related reasons, but at some point we need a double figures defeat in the Premier League. And they what were they 5-0 up at half time? Sheffield United had given up and they only got one more goal in the second half. Unforgivable.
Take all their goals off them too for that as well. Right, Arsha, are you feeling any better? Because after that, we're top of the league now.
Yeah, great. Champions League football incoming until they change that system. Ah, oh, football. Ah, oh, football.
Well, we did our best to cheer him
Yeah.
up, Matt, but it's not worked.
Look, it's all going to be fine. It's only a game. at the end of the day, isn't it? A game that we hang most of our lives on that determines our mood to an extent that it really shouldn't. But look, who knows what's going to happen? Maybe Forest will win at Luton. I tell you what, Nick, let's finish with some predictions. We don't ever do this. What's the score going to be at Kenilworth Road?
All right, then 3-1 Forest.
Nice. Okay. Harsha?
1-0. I don't know who to.
Oh, come on, mate.
1-0 Forest.
There you go.
I'm going to say 2-0. Ibrahim Sangare gets both of them. And we go, oh yeah, man. There he is. That's the guy we've been waiting for. And from there, we go on the tear, take 9 points from the 3 games against Luton, Palace and Fulham. And say, what were you worried about? Whatever happens, we'll react to it next week. We'll be here for you. Don't worry. It could be worse. We were in the Championship for 23 years. Follow us on X at the Garibaldi G, the Garibaldi Gazette on Instagram. And you can watch the pod on YouTube as well, if you like. Just search for the Garibaldi Gazette. If you're heading down to Luton, I hope you enjoy yourself. If not, I hope that you manage to bear listening to it because you won't be able to watch it. We will be back to break that down, talk everything else that's happening in the world of Forest as well next week. Until then, though, thank you for your company. Bye for now.